Earlier this summer, 55 boxes were loaded onto a U.S. military plane to fly from South Korea to Hawaii. The boxes are believed to contain the remains of U.S. service members killed in the Korean War and were turned over by North Korea. For Susan Key, the development is personal. She has a message for the families of those soldiers killed in action.
To all the families of Korean War fallen heroes who are still missing, I'm so very sorry for the loss of your loved one. Your loss is very personal and real to me, because your loved one laid down his life to save my family and the people of South Korea.
Key is a Korean-American writer who's working on a book of Korean War veteran stories and those of families who lost family members in the war. I spoke with her recently and started our conversation by asking her that, given the relations between the U.S. and North Korea and what we don't know about that country, how optimistic should families be that their missing loved ones could be coming home?
Well, I guess that's really up to the families as to how optimistic they really should feel. I don't want to speak on their behalf, but I think considering where we were last year with all the saber rattling with North Korea and the fact that 55 remains were given over to us recently is a huge development that we did not expect. So I would hope that the families would never give up hope and always hope for the best and our relations to get better where we would have all of the Americans brought home.
What is the process like once the remains come back to the U.S.? Because it's difficult, I would imagine, to figure out who these people might have been and if they are even, in fact, human remains. And if that is the case, then if they were actually American soldiers serving in Korea.
Yes. With the 55 caskets that were recently turned over by North Korea, I understand that they were checked to make sure that there were human remains at Osan Air Force Base before they took off to be brought over to Honolulu Hickam Air Force Base, where you saw the big ceremony of their arrival. So once they have gotten there, they will be sent to the lab at Hickam Air Force Base with the Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency. DPAA for short is the actual agency responsible for the recovery and the identification of these missing. So they will go through their forensics, their DNA, all of the different analysis to determine who these remains are and who the families are.
Is there generally enough DNA to make that determination? I mean, how easy or difficult is it to figure out who these people might have been?
Yes. From what I understand from all the meetings I've attended with DPAA briefing for the families, they have currently for Korean War 92% of the family's DNA, which means that any remains that they check across all the DNA bank of DNA that they have, they should have 92% probability of matching to someone.
And if they find a match and if they're able to locate the family or next of kin, what happens then? I mean, is the family able to claim the remains and have a burial ceremony or do what they would like to do?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that because I actually had a very close-up view of what happens when that happens. So in December of 2016, we had a family here that lives in Phoenix, Arizona, who was contacted that their loved one, Daniel Hunt, was identified. So from that point on, the military casualty office takes over and arranges the military honors funeral. I asked to help the family with the funeral service in terms of bringing the consulate from the Korean embassy in Los Angeles and bringing out all of our Korean War veterans and our Korean community to pay our respects to Daniel Hunt and their family. So I have seen from the arrival at the airport, I was there with the family at the tarmac when his casket was lowered. They're usually escorted by a military escort from Hawaii, where the lab forensics are done. Then they're flown to wherever the families are, and then all of the military honors is done by the military for the family. And he is buried here, Daniel Hunt is buried here at the National Memorial Cemetery in Cave Creek.
What did it mean to his family all these years later to, I guess, have maybe some sense of closure?
I think it meant the world to them. The situation with the Hunt family is he had 12 siblings. And the really tragic thing about it is, even though he had that many siblings, they all had passed. And so the only family left for Daniel Hunt to be welcomed by was nieces and nephews who didn't know him. So that was the really heartbreaking part of it, and that is why there's an urgency on our government to do everything they can to bring them home quickly and identify them and return them to their families. It's been almost 70 years now since the war, so most of the immediate siblings are even getting too old to see their loved ones come home.
Is there a sense of how many American service members are still missing?
Yes. So after the war, there were roughly about 8,100 missing. Today, they've accounted for 465, which means there's about 7,700 still missing. Now, out of the 7,700 still missing from the Korean War, 5,300 of them are in North Korea, which makes it very difficult for the families to have hope.
Within the community of families whose family members are still missing, is there optimism that if the U.S. and North Korea are getting along a little bit better, that maybe that will lead to more remains coming back to this country?
Absolutely. You know, I've met probably 200 or 300 families of Korean War MIAs in the course of my research and interviewing them, and all of them have hope. And I have a family who told me, how do you give up on love? How do you give up on someone you love? You can never do that. So there is the sense of perseverance.
Is there a balance that you find that these families have to draw, though, between hope and having optimism that this will happen, but also, for lack of a better phrase, maybe a sense of realism that, you know, 70 years on, it hasn't happened yet, and maybe it won't ever happen?
Right. I think the families have a very realistic sense as they continue to hope for their loved ones to be found. They know that North Korea is a very unpredictable and closed-off regime. They're not humanitarian in nature. They continue to play politics when it comes to return of remains. That should be a humanitarian issue, but they turn it into political. So the families know the difficulties of the obstacles they face politically, and also just because of the relations between U.S. and North Korea has always been very unpredictable.
Susan Key is a writer who's working on a book of Korean War veteran stories and those of families who have lost family members in the war.